I want you to know how good that makes me feel. I hope you can know my dad. Because the idea that I know that no matter what's going on, my dad is always there for me. No matter what I do, that's kind of a great feeling. It really is. In fact, they wrote it a long time ago, about 4,000 years ago in the book of Joshua. God wrote this down and said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't know how many of you make that just makes you feel good today. Are you ready for this? God will never, my dad will never leave me. No matter what I do, he says, I will always, always, always be there for you. We use the word omnipresent. I use the word, my dad's always there. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid of the dark anymore. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have no idea about the economy. I have no idea what's going to happen in health. We get a report. 3 prayer requests came in this morning. 2 of them were people that were told they have 6 months to live. Can I tell you something? My dad is there. He never leaves me. And I'd like to go share with these people. These things just came in. I know one of the young ladies. I knew her years ago when she was in junior high school. She has brain cancer. The doctor just told her she has 6 months to live. Now I'm thinking, well, my dad will be there for her. That's who my dad is. My dad is always there for me. And I'll tell you what, I used to be afraid of the dark. I'm definitely afraid of heights. My palms start sweating when I'm out climbing. When I start rappelling off towers. And I love it. My heart starts pounding. I remember when we were in Wyoming 1 year. And I decided to rappel one of the first times I ever did. I'm going off this 3.5-story tower out there in the mountains. And I'm going off that thing. And they said, just lean back and look up. And I'm thinking to myself, you have got to be kidding me. I can look up. That's a good place to be looking. I don't want to look down. My palms are sweating. I'm holding on to what they call the lifeline, your brain line. They said, hold on to that and let go. And I thought, oh, isn't that just like my God? But he's always there for me. I'm definitely afraid of heights. I started making my way down that tower. I looked over. My wife was next to me. And she's over there. She's doing one of those. Grandma, she looks like some of those special op forces. She's going, come on. I'm thinking, baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. Off the tower, baby steps, down the tower. Big steps to the ground. And then I get about halfway down and they said, jump! And so I pushed off that tower and I thought I went about 20 feet. I probably went about 2 inches. And I saw carved into this wood tower and right in front of me was the word impossible. And I said, it's a sign from God. I should not be here. And I pushed off a little further and then I got to see the big picture. Sometimes you got to push off to see the big picture. And as I pushed off in my faith, I went back and I saw that wonderful scripture in Hebrews that says, without God, it's impossible, or without faith, I'm sorry, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I thought about that. I thought, God, you are always with me. What great advice, leaning off that tower in this space. Look up. My God is always with me. I want you to know that about my dad. My dad was with me on that tower. He said, push it, coward. My dad has always been there with me. That's the amazing thing. He's always there for me. The other thing I know about my dad, not only is he always there for me, my dad's pretty smart. I don't know if you've got dads like this. We have 2 rules. I came up with a top 10 in the Olson family one Christmas years ago. And all the wives said, please, frame that in glass. Give it to us. We'll mount that on the walls. You know those rules in your house that everybody knows but nobody talks about? Like he who speaks loudest gets heard. In our house, I remember 1 and 2. I can't remember all the other 8 there in there. But number 1 in our house at Olson knows something about everything. Number 2, they're never wrong. And so, here's what I know about my father. My father, our father, is pretty smart. You know what? He knows something about everything. And boy, that makes me feel pretty good. The word is omniscient, omniscience, all-knowing. You know what? Sometimes I get the feeling that my father, my dad, sometimes I think dad knows what I'm thinking before I think it. He knows everything that I'm doing. And are you ready for this? Makes me feel pretty good, I think, most of the time, that he knows what I'm thinking. Because here's the deal. He still loves me. He knows what I'm thinking, and he still loves me. He's even smart enough to know what I'm going to be thinking and doing tomorrow. He's smart enough to know what's going to happen in the economy tomorrow. He's smart enough to know what's going to happen in my life, in my health tomorrow. You know what? I feel pretty good that my dad knows everything. It really makes me, I hope you know my dad. This is my report. My dad knows everything. The third thing that my dad knows, you need to know about this, is my dad's pretty strong. I don't know what you think about strength, but as a kid, it was good knowing who's the strongest kid on the block, and then making friends with them. We used to call it, where I grew up in California, with all the gangs, we called it clout. You found clout. You either found a gang that was strong or a person that was strong. And I had people like that. But when I was really small, we lived on the street. There were probably 24, 25 kids that lived on our block in California. And on that block, it was like the Little Rascals. And there was a girl, if you'll allow me to share this, I know I've shared it before, but like a good song, let me sing it this morning, it'll make sense. I remember this girl that lived on my block. Her name was Stacy Mortensen, and every kid feared her more than they feared God. I'm not kidding. Stacy Mortensen wore a pair of boots. She was 2 years older than me, and we called them waffle stompers. The reason we called them waffle stompers, because when you stepped in the mud or the dirt, they made a waffle print. And they were as close to steel-toed boots as you can get. And every boy on our block had been kicked by Stacy's waffle stompers. She had a little sister named Kelly. And Kelly was my age. One day I was out playing, and Kelly took her jump rope. And she came over to me, and she was saying stuff. I said, leave me alone, just go away, you're obnoxious. Girls had cooties. Mm-hmm. And she took her rope, and she hit me with her rope. And then she hit me again with her rope. I went home crying. And I told my mom. They kept, okay, I was younger. I don't do that anymore. I go home crying and tell my wife. All right? It's different when you're younger. Trust me, she tells my wine all the time. She has a whole thing of cheese for my wine. Kelly hit me. I told my mom. Here's my mom's answer. Well, son, Kelly likes you. And that day I discovered what a crush was. She said, she has a crush on you. And that's what girls do. That's what you do when you have a crush. I thought, good, I'm going to go crush her. Just, you don't do that. Boys don't hit girls. So the next day, I'm out playing, and Kelly's out there. And what does Kelly do? She has her crush on me again. And she hits me with her rope. And I said, fine, boys can't hit girls. I said, that's it. I'm getting my sister Tammy. Oh, my sister Tammy. She was a couple years older than me, and she could fight. And I said, she is going to beat you up. I get my sister, and that's what you do. You one-up the next person. I said, she's going to beat you up. And she said, I'm going to get my sister, Kelly, or Stacy, and she's going to get her waffle stompers. I thought, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to get my mom, and my mom is going to slap your sister. And she said, well, I'm going to get my dad. And Lord Mortensen was one of the largest men I've ever met in my life. Next to the sailfish, one day he caught in a tree, or caught and hung.
This ought to be good.
How big is that fish? Stop today. Start recording. He caught with this. This isn't the Johnny Carson show. Just stop. I can't even go back there now. Mort was a big guy. And he caught a big fish. That's all I remember about him. Out in the front yard, cleaning that fish, sailfish in the front yard. And she said, I'm going to get my dad, and my dad is going to beat up your mom. And I said, well, my dad's a cop. He's going to get his gun and shoot your dad. End of story. Game's over. I win. Biggest dad. The reason I say that is because the thing I know about my dad is this. There's a bully on everybody's block. You all have a bully that lives on your street. His name is Demon. All right? Demon lives on everyone's street. And Demon comes up to us oftentimes, and he smacks us around a little bit. And he does that. And we do the one-up thing. He says, you know what? I'm going to make you sick. And you say, you know what? I'm going to pray to get healed. He says, you know what? I'm going to go get my other demons. You say, I'm going to go get my angels. He said, I'm going to go get my father, Beelzebub. And you say, you know what? I'm going to go get my dad. Game over. Because my dad is the strongest. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He is the strongest. And he is the trump card in my life. And I want you to know something. When a demon shows up at the door, I don't even fight those battles anymore. I don't answer the door anymore. I used to answer the door thinking, okay, come on, Satan, let's go. You and me, one-on-one. And the Lord told me, no. One of my brothers told me, hey, Dad doesn't want you fighting that way. In James chapter 2, it says this. It says, draw near to Dad, and Dad will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I love the way God says it. Our dad teaches us this way. He says, the battle's not yours, but it's mine. I don't fight those fights anymore. I don't answer the door when bullies show up. I just kind of sit back and say, God, Dad, do you see what's going on? And my dad is stronger than anything in my life. And I trust him with that. I hope you know my dad. Our dad. He's pretty great. What else have I learned about my dad? Here's what I've learned about my dad. My dad's really stern. For those of you that have stern dads that can never change their mind, they're set in their ways, they're old-fashioned. My dad is stern. He never changes his mind. Now follow me on this. You say, wait a minute. What do you mean he doesn't change his mind? He never changes his mind. He never changes. And that's a good thing. The theological word for that is called immutable. He is immutable. I'm so glad he's immutable because my kids can't figure me out on a Monday from a Saturday. I'll be doing one thing and say, okay, this way we're going to run the house on Monday, and on Saturday we're running a different way. They go, we can't figure out. That's not a good way to run a household. You want to be consistent and stay the same. I want you to know something. My father is consistent. He is stern. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he'll be the same forevermore. My dad never changes. You know what? That makes me feel pretty good. Because if he decided to change his mind, he could say this, not to all who call on the name of the Lord, I've changed my mind. You know this whole people thing? I'm really tired of it. He hasn't changed his mind since Adam and Eve messed up and said, you know what? I don't think we want you. And God says, I'm not changing. I still want you. I think in the days of Noah, when the whole earth rebelled, and he could have said, you know what? I don't want you anymore. When they said, we don't want you. He says, you know what? I'm still going to save you. In the time of Jonah, in the time of Moses, in the time of Jeremiah, at the time of Jesus, I am so glad that my God never changes. He is still out for one thing. He's out to have a relationship with his kids. My God never changes. And I'm so glad everything changes in this world. You just wait, they're going to change another law. It's right to marry this kind of a person. It's wrong to marry this kind of a person. It's right to have this kind of sex. It's wrong to have this kind of sex. It's right to do this to the little babies in the womb. It's right to do this. You know what? The world keeps changing. You can't keep up with it fast enough. And I am so thankful that my dad never changes. He will never change his mind. He will never change. And I can trust him for everything. I can trust him for his grace in my life. And says, any moment I want, I can say, God, will you, Dad, will you please forgive me? And I know the blood and the grace of Christ is there in my life. I am so glad that he will never change. I am so glad that it says to anyone who calls on the name of the Lord that you can be saved. I am so glad. You know, people said, oh, that Bible is going to change. Guys wrote that for thousands of years. It's contradictory. You know what? If you show me one thing wrong, I'll give you $10,000. There is not a contradiction in this book. People say that, but they've never read it. Voltaire, the greatest philosopher of his day and the leading teacher of the university, said, this will be off the face of the planet. I tell you, atheism is the way to go. God, I dare you. If you're real, strike me with lightning. The Bible will be gone in my lifetime. He did that in one of his classes. And Voltaire died. And they bought his house. So people bought his house. They turned it into a printing press. And they began printing. I love it. Adolf Hitler said that God would be gone. He tried to destroy Christianity. Stalin tried to make the world a communist state. And almost succeeded. But you know what? He died. And you know what they're doing in Russia? They're selling Bibles for $1,000. They were, I'm sorry, past tense. They can't get enough of the Bible. And in their schools, that's weird. They're teaching the Bible in their schools, and we're kicking it out of our schools. Things change, but here's the deal. My dad never changes. Amen. I'm so glad he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That makes me feel pretty good about my dad. I can count on my dad. There's a couple things I want to finish with about my dad. My dad never quits. My dad never quits. I'm glad my dad never quits. The word, if you want the word, it's called eternal. He is forever. Now you say, well, how's that? He never quits, he's forever. My dad has never given up on me. I think if I live forever, I think God would pursue me. I think my dad would search for me to the ends of the earth. My dad loves me. And I love him. And when I didn't even want him in my life, when I could care less, when I was so wasted on my mind on a Friday night that I had to go searching with my friends to find my car on Saturday morning, when I was so lost and empty that I got on a bicycle and rode around the town because I didn't have a friend in the world that understood my heart, when I didn't have anything, my dad was out in the streets calling my name and looking for me. My dad never quits. When I turned my back on him after I received and became a child of God, a year later I turned my back on God. And I thought, oh, my dad will never invite me back into his house. I'm getting kicked out. I'll never see him again. He never quit. He kept calling my name and calling my name. And he changed my life forever. My dad never quits. I'm the biggest screw up of all. Trust me, church. I'm so glad that we needed more chairs, and I see some of you are still standing. I apologize, but I'm glad you're here this morning. Be here to listen to this. I'm a screw-up. I'm a pastor. And if God would allow me to stand up here and speak to you, imagine what he would do for you, because I'm sure you got your act together a whole lot better than I do. The sweater is just a facade. I'm a figment of my own imagination. And I say, Dad, how many times will you keep taking me back and never quit? You're eternal. Okay. He reminds me of what one of my brothers said 2,000 years ago, standing with him, frustrated with the guy next to him, said, I'm tired of this guy. And Dad says, 70 times 7 a day. 490 times? You would really forgive me 490 times today if I messed up 490 times today. My dad never quits. His desire is not a bunch of rules. He didn't put a bunch of rules so that you could feel like you're walking on a tightrope. He simply wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your dad. The rules in here are just so that you'll love each other better and learn more about his heart. That's what it's here for. Beyond that, it becomes a religion. Learn that he just wants to have a relationship with you. And he never quits. That's my dad. I love my dad. He's a great dad. He's the best dad in the world. And I had to write this report yesterday so I could deliver it to class today. My dad's the best dad in the world. He's one of a kind. He's got a huge family. And I never eat dinner alone. I feel so good about that. And the last thing you need to know about my dad is this. The last thing about my dad is this. There is no one greater. My dad is sovereign. I thought about the word sovereign. I wanted to tell you what the word sovereign meant. Yesterday I was at a wrestling match. I watched kids win incredible matches. I went, they're sovereign in that match. They're the best at the tournament. That's sovereign. Nobody can beat you. There's somebody in the world that has more money than anyone else in the world. You'd say they're the richest, sovereign. They have more money. They're the highest. There's no one above them. There are kings in the world. There are nations in the world. There are strong people in the world. Can I tell you something? There may be lords, and there are lords of lords. There may be kings, and there may be kings of kings. But I want you to know something. There is nobody that is greater than my dad. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the eternal one. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the eternal God. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that heals me. He is Jehovah Shalom. He put peace in my heart. He is my God. There is no one greater than my dad. knowing that there is, he has got everything under control. I close with this about my dad. In conclusion of my report today, my dad has my life completely in control. He's been trying to get me to do things. He knows what's best, and oftentimes he'll say, hey, I think you should go to this college. I think you should meet this person, and I think you should marry this person. As many times as I've rebelled against my dad trying to help his kid out, thinking that I know better than he does, my dad really knows my life. And he says to me, in his own words, in Jeremiah 29:11, my dad wrote me a letter about 3,500 years ago. I just got it about 28 years ago. It was really snail mail, okay? The post office didn't get it here. And he says this in Jeremiah 29:11. Trust me, my dad wrote me that letter. That's 66 letters to me. Completely in love from my father. He told me. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares Dad. Plans to give you hope in the future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He told me that. Okay, Dad, I'll stop rebelling. You know best. His father always knows best. That's my dad. I hope you know him. I'm pretty proud of him. Because he's my dad. I'm sorry. From now on, let's read it the way it's written. He's our dad. You're never alone. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we are about to pray. It wasn't a prayer of Jesus. The disciples said, teach us. So it's really the disciples. It's our prayer. So Lord, we're going to pray that prayer. I'm not sure how you were raised, if you were Catholic or Methodist or Protestant or I was Presbyterian, so we're going to say trespasses. You want to say debtors for sins, however you were done. But let us pray that prayer together. As we begin this journey over the next 10 weeks of this prayer, remember the first part we were talking to. Let's pray that prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Father, our benediction is this. And now we go into the world because of who you are. May we love one another and invite other people to the dinner table. Thanks for being our Father. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great week.